listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
You heard that yourself. This is a case that nobody wanted to bring, including Alvin Bragg. It was just at the last minute they decided to do it. It's a case that, if you're looking back, it goes back many, many years, 2015, maybe before that. And it's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law, in terms of all the violent crime that's going on outside as we speak, right outside as we speak. But this is a case where you pay a lawyer, it's a lawyer.
No. Don't keep it going. Keep it going.
And they call it a legal expense. That's the exact term they use, legal expense in the books. And another thing that wasn't even said was we never even deducted it as a tax deduction. So that takes a whole vast year. Most people want to deduct everything. We never even took it as a tax deduction. But they call the payment to a lawyer a legal expense in the books. They didn't call it construction. They didn't say you're building a building. It called a payment to a lawyer because, as you know, Cohn is a lawyer. Represented a lot of people over the years. Now, I'm not the only one. And wasn't very good in a lot of ways in terms of his representation. But he represented a lot of people. But he puts in an invoice or whatever, a bill, and they pay and they call it a legal expense. I got indicted for that. What else would you call it? Actually, nobody's been able to say what you're supposed to call it. If a lawyer puts in a bill or an invoice, and you pay the bill, and in the book, it's a little line, that's a very small little line. I don't know if you could even write more than two words. It's not like you could tell a life story. They marked it down to a legal expense. This is what I got indicted over.
That's amazing. He's totally right. It's exactly, I got the indictment right here. Forget Stormy, forget all that stuff. Writing a check to his own lawyer, and calling it a legal expense. Now, I'm joined by another lawyer. I know all of you know Ray Kelly, the longest-serving police commissioner in this history of this city. And best, oh, by the way, crime low, record lows, record high approval rating, 75%, black, white, red, brown, Hispanic, nobody cared. Didn't matter who you were, you loved Ray Kelly. But did you know this about Ray Kelly? Happens to be a lawyer. Became a lawyer all the way back in the early 1970s. St. John's graduate. Mario Cuomo was his teacher, one of them. And also has a master's of law from NYU, which I think is one of the top five law schools in America. Ray Kelly, did I get all that right about your legal resume?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well,
you did.
You are an attorney, which, by the way, helped you a lot in law enforcement. I'd like to get your thoughts on what's happening to President Trump right now, because now that this is the first day of the trial. It's actually happening. Before it was like, you know what, it's never going to actually happen, but here it is happening. What do you think?
I think this case should be a major embarrassment to the legal community. There is no basis to bring this case, and I am really shocked and saddened by the fact that so many prominent people in the legal world have not spoken out against this. I know there's a fear that somehow there'll be a backlash and you'll lose business, you'll lose clients, but this is wrong, and virtually every lawyer knows that. Yeah, there is no, I heard you say before, how come people are not speaking out? I have the same question in my mind. You know, and there's a whole legal world that of retired lawyers who have worked for the major law firms, have retired or gone into another status, who have made their money, you know, who have made their name, and yet they're allowing this to go forward. It's really saddening, really, right? The granny attorney there, to have this go forward in the greatest country in the world. You know, I think you mentioned the indictment. They looked at the indictment. There's one charge in the indictment, falsifying business records. This has never been published. In other words, the allegation is that the payment to this person was made through his attorney, Cohn, and Michael Cohn, and the reimbursement to Cohn was put down as a legal expense. I mean, it's certainly arguable that, that's what it should be. But to have this case brought 6 months before a national election, a crucial national election, is just beyond the pale. So it's saddening as much as anything else, and it does not bode well for the United States of America, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it has a chilling effect. You mentioned there are multimillionaire lawyers who are keeping their head down right now, who know better, because they're scared about, well, what is this going to mean to me? And if they're scared, multimillionaire retirees, what about the regular schnooks out there? Like, you know, people like me, I'm raising a family. I got kids. I want to, I got bills to pay. We're like, if they can't say anything, thank God I can say something. Thank God. I really am thankful. So the indictment is a farce. It's a joke. Oh, let me ask you this, because you've been in plenty of courtrooms. You had to testify here, there, right?
Yep.
For the, you know, for the prosecution, you know, you're a witness, you're a police officer, you see things. I am told that at the prosecution table, and it's probably more, but I have confirmed that there are at least four lawyers on this case sitting at the prosecutor's table. You've got a guy named Joshua Steinglass, a woman named Hoffinger, another person named Matthew Colangelo, which is a huge scandal in and of itself, because this guy is a top federal prosecutor who has now demoted himself to this case, made opening arguments. Bragg is often said to be sitting at the table. There's another lawyer whose name I don't know. So you got like five or six lawyers, prosecutors. How many prosecutors do you have when it's a regular run-of-the-mill murder case? How many people are sitting at the table?
Well, a lot less than that. But, of course, that's the district attorney's prerogative. You know, he can have as many district attorney assistants as he wants. But, yeah, it goes to show you the import of this case to them.
Well, it's, a,
the,
it's his prerogative.
The basis of this.
It's his prerogative. Go ahead, sorry.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but no, the basis of this case is so, so slim. Whether you hate Trump or like Trump, it should have nothing to do with that. This is bad for America. And they're going to have as many district attorneys as they, assistant district attorneys as they think are going to be helpful.
Well, but that's proof of the corruption in my view. And by the way, those lawyers, I mean, they work for us. Alvin Bragg may be elected, but those are public resources. And we see the situation that New York City is in, and New York State and the country in decline, and crime has basically been legalized. Shoplifting has been legalized. And to have all these, I mean, we are paying their salaries. And this, to me, seems to be a gross violation of some canon, of some ethics, maybe even the law, to be having that many prosecutors over a, what did you call it again? A business records, falsifying business records. And literally, there's this, by the way, you know what word they use in this thing? They use the check stub. He says that Donald Trump put the wrongly characterized the payment in a check stub. In a check stub. The stub. What do they care about the stub? Anyway.
But apparently it was never used as a business expense for tax purposes. So, you know, where is the fraud? Who is being defrauded here? You know, it's just, there's no victim here. In the other cases that are bandying about here. So it's a bad day, in my judgment, for America to have this type of prosecution go forward 6 months before a presidential election. And with no outcry from the legal community, no outcry from the Bar Association, no, we're just going to let it go forward and sit on our hands.
Because
this is just not a good situation.
And when you were learning about the law, when you go to law school, I mean, you know, I hear this stuff from judges, you know, they fall in love with the law, their love affair with the law, and that's fine. But doesn't that have something to do with like the law is supposed to be blind, right? Didn't somebody say that? Like sometimes you got those statues in the Hall of Justice or whatever, and it, they're blindfolded as they hold that scale. All this
exactly.
Oh God!
Now that seems to have really gone adrift, unfortunately. Certainly, when it comes to this defendant, and as I say, you don't have to love him. You know, it doesn't have to be about him. It really is about a much bigger issue, a much broader issue for all of us, for the country.
Hey, you know what?
It can happen to him. It can happen to anybody.
It sure can. And I looked up Alvin Bragg's memo. Remember that thing, his day one memo?
Yeah.
How he basically, right. You know, certain crimes are no longer crimes. You know what's in here?
Yeah.
Quite a bit. He talks about the danger of unnecessary incarceration. And that,
oh, that's the whole thing with his memo. Absolutely. Incarceration is the absolutely last option that should be taken.
So
he is totally against putting people in jail. And you know, he is so proud of the fact that what he wasn't going to do. Here's somebody elected to office on his first day. Hey, here's what I'm not going to do for you. I'm not going to prosecute trespass. I'm not going to prosecute resisting arrest. Then the whole thing with petty larceny now and all of the thievery going on from, you know, small businesses. In a national phenomenon. Thank you, George Soros.
You know, there's another guy here who I don't think is receiving enough attention. His name is Alan Weisselberg. Never had a problem in his life until his boss decided to run for president. They've been all over him. Right now, at this moment, Alan Weisselberg is on Rikers Island. He's in prison for 5 months. For 5 months. Now, they say he committed perjury. All right. And we all know about how bogus a lot of those perjury charges can be. But let's take it for a minute. Okay, let's just accept for a moment that he lied in court. Now, according to Alvin Bragg's day one memo, I'm going to read from it. Studies have shown that even 3 days in jail can lead to a loss of housing, employment, and strained family connections and increase the likelihood of failure to appear in court. Studies also indicate that incarceration in and of itself can create public safety risks. So... He's a nonviolent offender. We know that. And we also know it's not a major financial crime. This is not Ivan Boesky. But they're willing to throw out their own propaganda about jail and how dangerous and bad it is for even the families and put this guy in jail for 5 months. And that's where he is right now. Alan Weisselberg.
I think he's in his late 60s, right?
I think he's actually, yeah, 68 or so, something like that.
Yeah, so he's in Rikers Island, 68 years of age, for... using a company car and not reporting it, you know, whatever allegation of perjury they're putting out there. No, it's all about election engineering, and this is the most egregious case of election engineering that I think has ever come forward.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Forgive me. You know how old he is? He's 76 years old. He's 76 years old in Rikers Island. And guess what? Also, Alvin Bragg, one of the reasons why he says he doesn't want to put people on Rikers Island is because Rikers Island is a dangerous cesspool and it's going down and it's in a state of crisis. So he puts this 76-year-old man there for a nonviolent crime, and it probably isn't even a crime. That's pretty wild. Let me ask you this also. You spent a lot of time in federal government. You were Undersecretary of the Treasury. You were Customs Commissioner. And I mentioned you're a lawyer and NYPD and all that stuff. I mean, the expense of this trial, Isn't that something that the prosecutors are supposed to kind of factor in? You know, you got these lawyers all tied up. You got a judge tied up. You got bailiffs. You got juries. You got a lot of things that cost money. And one of the things that judges are supposed to do are say, you know what? Can't you? I remember there was a movie I once saw, and the judge said, "Can you boys kind of figure out this disagreement amongst yourselves?" I mean, there is a time and a place to worry about resources and things like that, right? Judges, that's part of their charge, or am I wrong?
Oh yeah, but that's totally thrown out the window in this case. They'll spare no expense, and we'll see that as the trial goes along and what witnesses they produce, that sort of thing. And you're right. I mean, in the normal course of business, government business, that's something that should very much be considered. Absolutely won't be considered in this case. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, how about this, if you don't mind changing topics, but you're a New Yorker, of course. You were born on Manhattan Island. Not a lot of New Yorkers can actually say that. But right now at Columbia University, Jewish students are under attack for being Jewish. Jewish faculty, some of them, are under attack for being Jewish. There are raging protests, some of them violent, and the university seems to be tolerating it. I just saw a video where they would not allow a Jewish professor to enter the university because the students objected. You're a Christian, but you're thoroughly versed in anti-Semitism. You once studied it for a couple of years. Just tell us, give us the lay of the land in your estimation. What's happening here, and how terrible is it?
Well, my focus was primarily on anti-Semitism in Europe, but when I did focus back here, I went to colleges. Columbia was certainly one of them where anti-Semitism was rampant. And I interviewed a lot of students, and they said, now, this is a few years ago. And they said, absolutely, they're afraid. They're afraid for their physical well-being, and the administration will do nothing about it. But they know about it. You know, the Jewish groups, Halal and groups like that on campus, would have some sort of public event, and they would be harassed. They would be harassed by an organization called Students for Justice in Palestine. They had 200 college campus presence of their organization, their components. Mm. And they've been involved in anti-Semitism since the 90s. It's been around a long time. And the complaint of the Jewish students with the administration just gave them a deaf ear. They would not accept the complaints. They would not have the security people respond. They might just respond to an event, but just stand there, don't do anything, of a proactive nature. So, it's been going on there for a long, long time. It has not been just triggered by October 7th.
Absolutely.
Going on, and they have expressed significant fear about the physical world, man.
And that was a couple of years ago, and now it's got to be off the charts. Well, Ray Kelly, thank you. Thank you for speaking out, making it official. You find this repugnant, what's happening, both on campus and, of course, in that courtroom downtown. Ray Kelly, longest-serving police commissioner, Marine, and, by the way, a lawyer and licensed to practice law and passed the bar on the first try, from what I hear. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Thanks for having me, Tom.
You bet.
Bye.
Did I mention he's my father, too? He's my father. I love the guy. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.